Well, that music that we had today, probably classed as pop music, popular music. I love all kinds of music. I love popular music. I like different kinds of country music. Don't like rap, sorry. My favorite is classical music. And one morning, a little while ago, I was listening to CBC Radio. That's a Canadian Broadcasting Corporation here in Canada. We broadcast on Radio 2. They have classical music. And I was listening to that one morning. I was surprised that the DJ played. He introduced a song by the country bluegrass star Alison Krauss. Now, that was a real shock on a classical music station. And I'm just going to have the guys play that song for you now. And I'd like you to read along with the lyrics, because they're fabulous lyrics. Please. Isn't that a lovely song? And the words rang a bell with me, as I'm sure they did with many of you. I'm going to read them for the brethren out there on the internet. I'm going to read briefly through the words. It says, "When he cometh to take up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own, like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they will shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. He will gather the gems for his kingdom, all the pure ones, all the bright ones, his loved and his own. Little children who love their Redeemer are the jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own, bright gems for his crown." Beautiful words. Well, I was so excited when I found this song, when I heard it, that I found the CD at the library, and and I looked at the sleeve notes. I wanted to get in touch with the people who wrote it. It was written by William O. Cushing and George Root. So, because I was so excited that I thought I would, because I wanted to give a message on it, I thought I'd search the internet for these two composers and perhaps email one or two of them, or both of them, to ask which scriptures they used for when they wrote the song. But as I got onto the internet there, the internet research quickly showed me that Mr. Root died in 1896 and Mr. Cushing died in 1902. So what it was is Alison Krauss modified her version of the song actually from an old 19th century hymn. But again, the lyrics appear to have been taken from three scriptures that are familiar to many of us, all of which we're going to come to as we go through. What I want to talk about today, what I want to discuss with you, is how precious you are to our great God. How precious you are, more precious than physical jewels, even the world's most expensive and valuable jewels. When we think of jewels, when we think of the better known precious stones of our day today, we think of diamonds, sapphires, rubies, emeralds. But the Bible mentions other kinds of jewels as well. And apparently, for some reason, the values of these jewels that we're not that familiar with has changed over the centuries. But let's talk about jewels a little bit. The most expensive piece of jewelry in the world is called a Graff Pink, a diamond that was sold in November 2010 for $46 million. $46 million. But there's other jewels that are even more valuable than that one. And these are actually, because of their historical value, they're actually priceless. Okay, so if you think about, there's one called the Hope Diamond. The Hope Diamond. It's in the Smithsonian over there, which I believe is in Washington, D.C. And it was actually taken from the French crown jewels. From the French crown jewels. It was owned by Louis XIV, Louis XV, Louis XVI, and of course the ill-fated Marie Antoinette. It's 45.52 carats. And it came from an unprocessed stone of over 112 carats. Imagine what that must have looked like before it was cut. There's also the British crown jewels. The British crown jewels are in the Tower of London over there. And they, again, they're absolutely priceless. You can't put a value on them. Just one crown is a huge crown. It's called the Imperial Crown of India. Get this, brethren. On this one crown, 6,200 diamonds, sapphires, rubies, and emeralds. And the largest emerald on there is 34 carats. Astonishing. But there's other jewels that are actually even more precious, if they do still exist in the world today. We're going to talk about some of those. Please turn to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. Because when God planned his tabernacle initially, he gave some real talent to a man called Bezalel. He inspired this talent in this man to prepare and to mount the jewels and the settings for the tabernacle and for the various clothes and the various things in the tabernacle. And these are among the most beautiful and valuable ever, if we could ever get to see them. Now, God attached lots of importance to this. He devoted two chapters in the book of Exodus. We're just going to touch on it now. Let's just touch on the one example of what they call the breastplate of judgment that the high priest had. Okay, Exodus chapter 28, please, and verse 15. And you shall make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod you shall make it, of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twine linen shall you make it. Four square it shall be. Please remember that. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And you shall set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, not sure if I'm pronouncing these right, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. These shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Even one with his name shall they be, according to the 12 tribes. So, many of these Bible jewels in the Bible, and these ones here, perhaps unfamiliar to you and me. They might be considered as semi-precious, for instance. But surely, if God put them made a special application for them in this breastplate, that they were truly valuable and very precious. Physical Israel, that's mentioned here, was very precious to God, still is. And spiritual Israel is even more so, even more precious to God. The song that we just listened to says that God's children are his jewels. And that's very true. God the Father has a great love for his children. His children of physical Israel. They were, if you think about this, and just think of it, we know that we're all children of God, but think of physical Israel, Old Testament Israel, if you will, as the first wife of Yahweh, of Jesus Christ. Physical Israel was the first daughter-in-law, if you will, of God the Father. He gave them a symbolic pet name, Jerusalem. God the Father and Jesus Christ lavished jewels on her, both physical and spiritual jewels. Please turn over to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 2. Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, thus saith the Lord God, the Lord Eternal, unto Jerusalem. Jump down to verse 11, please. I decked you also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon your hands, and a chain on your neck, and I put a jewel in your forehead, and earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown upon your head. Thus were you decked with gold and silver, and your raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. You did eat fine flour and honey and oil, and you were exceeding beautiful, and you did prosper into a kingdom. But we all know that Israel became vain. And eventually, this beautiful bride of Yahweh, of Jesus Christ, became worse than the filthiest harlot. She gave away their precious jewels given to her by her husband. And she gave them away to her illicit lovers for use with their heathen idols. God gave her many opportunities to repent, but to no avail. A divorce became necessary, and that marriage was totally ended by the death of Jesus Christ, her husband. Now, although the Church of God is considered, we can consider it like an outcrop, a grafting of physical Israel. We read about that in Romans chapter 11. You don't have to turn there. The Church became Jesus' second fiancé. We are waiting now as the fiancé of Jesus Christ. We should be encouraged by that. We are the future bride of Jesus Christ. We are the future second daughter-in-law of God the Father. You excited by that? I am. Again, he gave that same symbolic pet name to her, Jerusalem. And God in the future is going to bedeck us, that bride of Jesus Christ, with priceless jewels. Please turn over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city. He said he was going to show John the bride, the Lamb's wife. Verse 10, he says, He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So Jesus' bride, then, he's telling us here through the Apostle John, is not just bejeweled. The bride is a jewel. The bride is a jewel. Verse 16, jump down to verse 16, please. And the city lies foursquare. Foursquare. Remember that the foursquare of the high priest's breastplate? Please jump down to verse 18. And the building of the wall of it, of the city, was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Can you imagine the purity of that gold that we've never seen? We've never seen anything like it. So this huge wall, it wasn't just cheap concrete or brick or stone or wood. It was the highest, it will be the highest quality custom created jasper. Can you imagine that? Think about that. Verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire. Think, just try and visualize this in your own mind, if you know what the colors and what these kind of jewels look like. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald. We'll ask a question here. The grammar seems a bit different here. Was each foundation, or will each foundation, be only garnished with regular sized precious stones, or, as the grammar seems to imply here, each one is a single huge jewel? Now that sounds, the size of them is so vast, it seems impossible for us today. Such jewels, as far as we know, don't exist today, certainly not on earth. But verse 10 told us that this city, including the foundations, descends from God. This city, if it's not already constructed now, it will be constructed by our Creator and His team in heaven. And it's going to be brought down to us from heaven. Now, for us human beings with our limited minds, it's very difficult for us to relate the two symbols that come together here. A pure and beautiful ornamented bride and a vast bejeweled city that grows into a kingdom. But as the walls of this holy city are going to be the most beautiful jewels ever, and as the bride of Jesus Christ is the daughter-in-law of God the Father, and as the bride is also consists of the beloved children of God the Father, and as the children of God are the pillars and stones of his temple, and as the children of God are jewels, then all of this comes together and fits so very well. Still in Revelation chapter 21, verse 20, please. Carrying on with this description. The fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Imagine that. 12 pearls. Every several gates was of one pearl. Wow. One pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. Now, we're familiar with some of these jewels, the pearls, the sapphires, the emeralds, and the amethysts. But again, others are only considered semi-precious. Today's specimens might be considered relatively poor, but they're absolutely nothing compared with those stones that are going to be created especially for this use. Some of these stones, or even all of these stones, are also used in the high priest, were used in the high priest's breastplate. The high priest's breastplate, it would appears to have been a small physical symbol of the holy city and New Jerusalem, and so symbolizing the bride of Jesus Christ, symbolizing the church of God, symbolizing the kingdom of God. So let's just recap a little bit here. God the Father and Jesus Christ, they're going to adorn the city and their bride with priceless jewels. God the Father and Jesus Christ, they consider their children, you and me, brethren, to make up this bride, and for that we are these precious jewels. But how precious? How precious are we? I don't have time to go there now, but I know that you've read Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17 many times. The amazing fact in there, in one of the verses in there, is that Jesus said that his Father loves all of his children the same as he does his firstborn. That's something that's hard to get our minds around. Jesus Christ, God the Father loves you and me the same as he loves Jesus Christ. That's incredible. Let's go back to Malachi, please. Malachi, end of the Old Testament, of course. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17. Malachi 3 and verse 17. And they shall be mine, says the Eternal of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. His own son that serves him. What are these jewels that God inspired Malachi to talk about, to write about here? The Hebrew word is segula, S-E-G-U-L-L-A-H. It means jewels, but it also means wealth. It means closely guarded and protected, something that is closely guarded and protected. It means a particular or a peculiar treasure. It means a special and treasured possession, and it means a valued property. That's what these jewels are. Who does it refer to? And who has the honour of being God's jewels? Verse 17 says that God's own son that serves him. We can say God's own sons that serves him. And he repeats this in verse 18. Verse 18, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Are we serving God, brethren? Are we serving God? How else are God's jewels identified? Let's go back to verse 16, please. Back up to verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord Eternal spoke often one to another, and the Eternal hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord Eternal, and that thought upon his name. Again, do we fear the Lord in the proper way? Of course. Why are we here at the Feast of Tabernacles? Why are we here? God tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 14, you don't have to turn there, and other scriptures as well. One of the reasons that we attend the Feast of Tabernacles is to learn to properly fear him, to fear God. So, who are God's jewels then? God's jewels are those who are called and chosen, of course, by God the Father. And it says, who are righteous, obviously are becoming righteous. Are those people who think and meditate on his name. Those who have a proper fear of him, and again, those who serve him. So there's something, we have a part to play. We have a part to play. It's a covenant. And it's something that God is going to do, and it's something that we have a part to play in it. We have something to do. So these are the elect whom he will gather when he cometh. Let's go over to Zechariah chapter 9. This is an inspired parallel scripture to Malachi 3. Zechariah chapter 9. Just a couple of chapters cut back. Zechariah chapter 9. Just one verse here. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 16. And the Eternal their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his land. Remember that imperial crown of India with its 6,200 beautiful jewels in there. The word stones here comes from a Hebrew word, Eben, E-B-E-N. But the accent on that particular word is for the practical application of jewels. Some jewels are just for ornament. Some jewels are actually used, they're practically useful. For instance, there's gold, there's diamonds, there's chrysolite, and others that are actually used in manufacturing processes and in electronic processes as well. The word crown in Zechariah 9:16 comes from the Hebrew word nezer, N-E-Z-O-Z, for you Americans, N-E-Z-E-R, and that can mean a chaplet or a wreath, especially for royalty, like a crown or a diadem. And it's symbolic of something or someone who is set apart, somebody or something that is dedicated, separated, and consecrated. An example might be a Nazarite or a priest or obviously a monarch. And that's the future that we have, brethren. So to be jewels in God's crown We must be set apart. We must be dedicated. We must be separated. We must be consecrated. And it also says here that God's jewels would be lifted up as an ensign. And again, the Hebrew word there is nakach, N-A-C-A-C. And that means to be conspicuous as a signal. Conspicuous as a signal. It actually means that the grammar of the word means to gleam from afar. To gleam from afar. And we think about like that lighted city on a hill that the lady's song mentioned. Like the lighted city on a hill that's mentioned by Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. So we are going to have fabulous, incorruptible crowns. We have them promised to us. Crowns of glory, crowns of life, crowns of righteousness. They've been promised to us to receive in the future. But we've already, if you've been called and chosen, then your crown has already been assigned to you. And Jesus gives a stern warning. Hold it fast. Really, really value that crown that you have. You haven't been, had it given to you yet, but it's assigned to you. And hold it fast so that no man can take it away. We've got to hold on. How do we hold on to our crowns? Well, Jesus gives us the instruction on this as well, through the Apostle Paul, through James, through the Apostle John, to make sure of obtaining our crowns, that we must love God, of course, number one. Strive to master ourselves, to be temperate in all things. I haven't got time to read all the scriptures on these things. To endure with courage and face temptations and fiery trials and sufferings. And be faithful even to the point of death. Let's go back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. It's final scripture. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Not sure what the symbolism of that 10 days is. But when you think about it, don't let that frighten you too much. Just remember when you think of those things, and that gold is purified in a very hot fire. Precious jewels, when God created precious jewels, they were created using great heat that we can't even imagine, and massive pressure. And that when they're taken and used for ornamental purposes, they're perfected and beautified using cut. They have to be cut and they have to be polished, and that's kind of a violent activity in itself. Still, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the end of it. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now that is a wonderful promise. So, during the coming year, brethren, if and when that you're going through temptations or trials or suffering, please remember, because God wants you to remember how precious you are to Him. How precious you are to Him. He has a fabulous crown put aside for you. And He can hardly wait to lavish you with precious gems beyond your wildest dreams. And most important of all, you are one of the jewels of His crown. You are. And you, and you, and you. You are very precious to God. You are more precious to God, even more than the world's most expensive, valuable, physical treasures, crowns, and jewels.